All of our lives we've been waiting for this moment. How did we get here? Where did we come from? Why are we here? What are we here for? Finally, what are we waiting upon? In this season of hope, we are reminded of a hope that always exists. We are always waiting for it while we already exist in it. Does that mean hope lies within the existence of each and every one of us? I'll give it a Minnesota, you know, I think it does. So where do we turn to for these answers, and why should we believe them if we do find them? I mean, all these questions need answering, right? For our past, for our present, for our future. Our lives become an ever-anticipating enigma when we begin to examine our true being. It is healthy to break down and question our whole existence, our relationships, and what life truly means to us. These things are something that John must have been thinking about when he was imprisoned. Just think, John, in the footsteps of Elijah, had been prophesying what had been prophesied for centuries, a path that people lived by, a path both uncertain and true. Don't you find it ironic that someone who lived this path of ministry and in clarity is questioning who the Messiah might be? Why should we then not be questioning the integrity of his practices? I mean, come on, people actually listened to a guy that was wearing, you know, animal skins out in the middle of nowhere, you know, eating locusts and honey, whose life was terminated within the confines of prison? A man who did not trust his own words. Now, it is just as easy to stand here and preach uncertainty as it is to preach truth. Jesus asks us the relevant question preceding his approval of the authenticity of John. Jesus asks us questions that challenge us to find clarity in our doubts. Are you looking for a reed shaken by the wind? Someone dressed in soft robes? This essentially means that we are looking for answers in materialistic things. Herod places a reed on the coin which were minted for the benefit of his palace. Now me, for the contrast in the lifestyle of Herod and being complexity, and the lifestyle of John being simplicity, is actually what we should be evaluating and reflecting upon this season of Advent. I found a first-hand contextual inspiration this past week when visiting the Twin Peaks for the first time in San Francisco with my partner. We parked the car and got out to see the view from behind the containing wall, you know, the one that lets you know that there's a view there. We observed our surroundings while talking about our thoughts of the day and what events were to come, and she mentioned the smog. There's something about it that made the experience more candid. Smog capturing the wilderness made things less clear. I illustrated the analogy of smog being a dragon. Now, I stole this one from The Hobbit. A dragon laying over its treasure, meaning that we're trapped under its scaled canopy. We, being the golden treasure under what we have created. So then we decided to venture up to the first peak, and we ducked and dodged and dived these cameras and phones that, you know, were all over the place. Feeling uncomfortable, she immediately commented, "Well, I guess we walked to the top of this hill, just to walk to the next one." By this she meant, well, that we could not just sit there and observe the landscape and the city without worrying about being captured by people's need to document every step of the way. They were no longer, you know, seeing the path. I could not think of Herod's palace in this instance. This experience of viewing our surroundings, I did not feel the peaks belonged to the freedom we experience with God. So then we walked down and back up to the furthest peak, and it was furthest from the parking lot. We were the only ones there. To feel grounded in an experience that was embodied rather than captured, we felt like we were part of something bigger than a JPEG. Now don't get me wrong, I love photography. I love painting even more, but what is lacking is the word of mouth by which we experience life. To be able to create for ourselves and others an image, a vision, something that can excite us to want to listen and know what happens. An image that allows for hope and trust to answer all of those questions that we ask ourselves. A live experience. This is what John represents in his simplicity. John is a live experience. Words over water, and that's it. Words animate our experience so that we can all be creators. Now in the time of John, people had to walk most places to hear the things that they wanted to hear, and it was the only way to, you know, like hear each other was by word of mouth. So think of the eagerness of John when he was waiting in the prison, waiting for his followers to get back from inquiring of Jesus. There's much time allotted for reflection of the self and of the world. I feel we hardly get an opportunity ourselves to do this anymore. It should not take capturing and imprisonment to realize these things. But hope and trust, these are the gifts that are embedded within us. The gifts that we should be sharing during this season. We need to free ourselves from our own capturing, the smog, the uncertainty, and keep asking ourselves questions that revolve around hope and trust for our own sake and for the sake of others. We have the choice between living our lives in a wilderness, which is free, or living in the guise of a palace, a place that captures us and charges us. Choose the wilderness and all its wonders and natural simplicity. In this season of Advent, think about what matters most and share what matters most. Live a live experience and live it in hopeful anticipation for yourself and for others. The sharing of ourselves amongst one another is the greatest gift we can give and receive. We are all a part of this world, this life, this joy today, and all a part of the trust in the new life that will be born in the time to come. Amen.